Praise God. It's really good when you feel like God has set everything up, isn't it? And we walked into the prayer meeting this morning and there was a picture of a fish on here, on the table, waiting for us. And it says, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, verse 19. I get a sense that God wants to do a work in our hearts today. He wants to do a work in our hearts today. I was going to start with a story, but I think I'll not bother with that. We'll move past. And because all of us are a work in progress, aren't we? Today we are talking about, if I can get this working, an introduction to our witness. It's stepping up. And Dan had titled it, Be a Friend, an Introduction to Witness. But I really felt that stepping up was a good title for us. Because sometimes we have to step up into things in God. Be courageous. And do things sometimes that we don't necessarily feel comfortable doing. I often feel like I have to step up and do something that I don't necessarily feel comfortable doing. But when you feel God is in it, you've just got to trust. You know, if you, a lot of people would say, oh, I don't like witnessing. When we go out on the healing on the streets, there's only 10 or 12 of us that go out. But lots of people would say, oh, I could never do that. I could never go out and share my faith like that on the streets. And a lot of people think, oh, it's really scary. But we actually have a lot of fun. And, you know, if you... and people might say, look, I just don't feel good enough. A lot of people have said that to me. I don't feel good enough. I can't do that. I don't feel good enough. Well, if you looked at the Bible and took out of the Bible all of the, let's just start with the major things like murderers. Yeah. If you took out the murderers in the Bible, you'd lose the first 5 books of the Bible, wouldn't you? Because Moses would have gone. You'd lose most of the New Testament because Paul was there when the stoning of Stephen. We wouldn't really have much of our Bible left if we had to judge people on how good they were. And when Jesus came on the scene in Mark 1 and he started his ministry, he didn't go around looking for good people. Good people, good Christian people, didn't exist. He was the first good Christian kingdom people that we might look at as, you know, and think, oh, they're so holy, they're so good. They didn't exist. Jesus went out and he preached to everybody. He went out and shared the gospel. He told people, the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn around, stop doing what you're doing, and believe in me. That's effectively what he was saying. Believe and trust in me. So, being a witness is not about being good enough. We're all on our own journey, aren't we? Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. And that, I don't know about you, but that was me. Yeah? That was me. And we can never be good enough if we try and attain to other people's impossible standards of what good looks like. But we can all be ourselves, can't we? We can all just allow God to work in our hearts and take us on that journey. And as we go on that journey, we can share the love of God as we go. And what I'd like to do today is really just to encourage you. We're looking in the Gospel of Luke, and funnily enough, I'd like to look at Luke 5. What an amazing, I think I've already been set up here. Yeah? So let's read together. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw them at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Then when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now you might ask, what has this got to do with being a witness? But when I looked at this passage, yes, it's about catching fish, and obviously God's got this agenda for us. Yeah, it's not just me standing up here talking. God has got an agenda for us. But this passage struck me for Simon Peter, how he wasn't even necessarily a Christian yet. And Jesus got him witnessing to his fellow businessmen, his other fishing partners, before he even knew what was going on. And if God can use somebody like that who doesn't even realize what's happening, he had no idea. All he did was say yes to Jesus. Then God can use any of us, can't he? He can use any of us. So let's just set the scene a little bit more. So Simon and his business partners, James and John, must have been absolutely worn out. They've got two boats working all night and not even a minnow to show for it. I mean, how hard that must have been. Not even the smallest of fish. They fish at night because that's the time when, so I'm told, that it's easier to catch fish. You don't have the glare of the light coming down through the water so the fish can see and swim off. They're tired, they're fed up, and they're worn out. They've pulled the boats upon the shore, and they have their last chores to do to pull the nets up, clean the nets, and then they can crash out and rest. Absolutely done in. And then along comes Jesus with this crowd. And he makes a beeline for Simon's boat. Now, James and John, traditionally, were cousins of Jesus. So they'd encountered him before. So that's okay. Jesus can get into their boat. They don't, you know, it's not some random person. They know him. And after their chatting, I mean, Peter and James and John and the other fishermen must have been cleaning their boats and half earwigging into what Jesus was saying. And so they'd done that when the preach was over, when Simon Peter, or when Jesus had finished, he says to Simon Peter, let's go out into open water, let your nets out. And you can just imagine what Peter is thinking, can't you? I mean, he's Jesus, you have no idea about fishing. You're telling me what to do. I've been a fisherman he's only in his 30s, mind. But I've been a fisherman with these guys. I know what I'm doing. We've fished all night and haven't caught anything. And you're going to tell me to put my nets down. We're not going to catch anything. And then we're going to have to pull our nets up and we're going to have to clean them again. Yeah? Thanks a lot. But something in his heart, he looks at Jesus and he sees his smiling face and he just can't say no. He can't say no. And so he says those amazing words for me. But because you say so, I'll do it. He doesn't have the best of attitudes. You can tell that he doesn't really want to do it, but he does it. And that, for me, is the key. If I could stop my preach now and say, if there's one thing that I could pass on to you, is that it doesn't matter how you feel, what you're doing, if you hear the voice of Jesus whisper into your heart to do something, then the response has got to be the same. Because you say so, I will do it. Even if you get it wrong and make a mistake and decide not to do it, celebrate the fact that you've heard the voice of God, that he whispered something in your ear that said, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? Because he will lead you, he will guide you. He knows Jesus stand there, he knows what's about to happen. And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, I'll do it. And he calls over to his work colleagues, his fishermen, and he says, right, because it's Jesus, right, come on, guys, let's get these nets out. And you can just imagine the other fishermen, they're all about, you know, might be grumpy as well, but they do it. Let's go, you heard the man, let's do it. And Jesus just stands there, smiling. And we see the result. So many fish that the two boats couldn't cope. I mean, how amazing is that? How amazing is that? They'd spent all night fishing and hadn't caught a thing. And maybe, just maybe, Jesus wanted Peter to have this image in his head of what fishing would be like for men. So that when Pentecost came and Peter stands up and he preaches at Pentecost and 3,000 people respond. Maybe he's got that image in his back of his head that when we went fishing, Jesus spoke and we caught so many fish that we couldn't necessarily cope. How amazing is that? But Jesus didn't do the fishing. He didn't do anything. I mean, I'm not pulling him apart by that. He said the word. He said, let your nets down. It was Peter, James, and John that did the work. They had to just simply respond to what Jesus said. Just imagine what would have happened if Peter had said, oh no, I'm not going out again, I'm done in, I'm finished. I wonder what would happen there. What would happen then? They'd missed out on a major, major miracle. So this was a witness to Peter, James and John. It was a witness to the crowd. It was a witness to the fishermen who were just absolutely astonished. So much so, the fishing was over. Maybe they'd caught so much fish, it was like winning the lottery for them. There were so many fish, they didn't have to fish for however long. But it meant they could just leave the boats, leave the nets, and follow Jesus. They left, the Bible says they left everything. And now they became fishers of men. And the thing is that when you look through the New Testament, miracles like this just seem to happen out of the blue, don't they? There seems to be no rhyme or reason to it. There's no logic to it. You can't put your finger on and say, well, this is going to happen there, this is going to happen there. We just don't have that level of knowledge. Only God knows what is going to happen. And he really only seems to give us enough information to take one step at a time. One step at a time. One action will unlock a whole series of other actions. And that is what being a witness is. You know, I go out onto the streets every month with our team, and I kind of like to think that I know a thing or two. But the truth is, I do not. I'm telling you, I do not. When I was preparing for this message, it occurred to me that all of the major conversations that I've had where people have come to faith on the streets of Basingstoke or people have come through have all been conversations where people have come up to me. Now, Robert's nodding his head. You came up to me. Yeah, I didn't approach you. You know, they're all conversations where people have come up to me. It's not like I've even initiated. God has got a higher plan. All I've had to do is just to respond to that, to God's prompting. Again, when you look into the New Testament, Jesus and the disciples were interrupted all the time. It's almost annoying, especially, I don't know whether if you're like me, I can't multitask. I find eating and breathing, you know, about the extent of my multitasking. Yeah. Maybe I'm just a typical bloke. Multitasking doesn't come easy to me. And so... You know, it's. I'm losing my track now. I'm taking myself off on a.
Hurry up.
Yeah. Thank you. But the New Testament is full of interruptions. Nothing seems to be in order, but God has a plan. And all we need to do is step into those things that God prompts us to at any particular time. So I go out on the streets, and basically, I'm just available to you, Lord. God, if you want to do anything today, I'm just going to be here. And it's a time for me just to make myself available to God. But that doesn't mean that anybody else has to be like that. You could be doing the washing up. You could be at work. And it's about being open to the Spirit of God. So Peter was tired, he was worn out, he didn't have the best attitude. But he said, because you say so, I will. So being a witness is that simple. Is recognizing when the Lord speaks to your heart and saying, yes, Lord. And that's the same for anybody. That's the same for all of us. It might be at college. It might be at work. It might be wherever you are. It's just being open to that prompting. The Holy Spirit will whisper something into your heart and mind to do something or to say something. And you've got to learn to go with the flow. Recognize that still small voice. And I'm sure you've all heard that voice. It might be saying for you to do something. Why don't you just pick up the phone? Or why don't you just do something? Why don't you speak to that person? God takes what we have in our hands and he uses it. For Moses, it was a staff. For Peter, it was a fishing net. Later, it was those 5 loaves and 2 fish, or 7 loaves and a few fish. It might be something that we can do, something that we're good at, something that God has gifted us in, that we all have talents in some shape or form. You know, now, when you're at work, I'm not asking you just to down tools and just start witnessing to all your work colleagues. I think that'd probably be a little bit annoying for them. But, you know, when I worked in finance, I knew that if I witnessed to my clients, my bosses would be furious. So I had to honour that. But every once in a while, one of my work colleagues would come up to me and ask me a question. And you'd think, great, God moment. And you can start a conversation. So, come on. I'd like to give you 5 keys that I think are important. And these are just my 5 keys. I'd just like to share them with you. And that first one is, excuse me. Thank you. Is to keep an open heart to God throughout the day. You know, just to be aware of his presence with you. That he loves you. That at any time he can prompt you. I know sometimes if you're concentrating hard, I used to come to the end of the day and I'd think, gosh, I haven't really thought about God too much today. You know, but remain open so that he can speak to you. Sometimes he might want to minister to you. He might want to help you. He might want to speak to you about what you're doing with your work, how you can help somebody, how you can do your job better. You know, when I had cancer, I had a pre-op, and one of the nurses started speaking scripture over me in the pre-op, and I'm thinking, you could lose your job if I complained about this. That was the first thought that went through my head. But what she was sharing was really encouraging. Thank you, Lord. You're with me. I'm going to go through this operation, and you're with me. And you'll just want me to know that. Thank you. He blessed me when I needed to hear it. And that comes on to my second one. Oh. Allow God moments to break into your day. Because he'll always, always want to bless you so that you can bless somebody else. The blessings that he's given to you, he'll want you to bless somebody else. That's the way it works. He gives to us so that we can bless others. So allow God moments to break into your day. Take some time out, a moment, just to give thanks. If you're struggling with something at work, God, will you help me deal with this? Just allow him to speak to you. Oh, gone up. Oh. Come on. Should be a little bit down further than that, but there we go. picky. Don't ignore those random thoughts. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. The Holy Spirit will speak to you if you're willing just to open your heart to him and let him speak to your heart. Because he's a communicating God. You know, if you look at Jesus in John 1, Jesus is described as the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And if you look at all of the summaries of the theologians can pick me up on this later. But if you look at the kind of summaries of that meaning of word, a good summary is message. Yeah, Eric's nodding. Okay, I feel a bit happier. Message. Maybe that's one reason why we have the Message Bible. Jesus is the message. The message to mankind. The message to us. And he wants to be a message to all of those people around us. So being a witness, God will speak to you. Don't ignore those random thoughts. The number of times I've felt a thought come into my head to say, why don't you pick up the phone? I think you should speak to that person. Or Margie said to me, why don't you speak to that person or contact them? And you contact them and suddenly you realize that they're in need. God will use those thoughts to prompt you. You know, we had a wonderful evening or afternoon yesterday, didn't we, Margaret? I was just absolutely, I don't know how many we had at Margaret's house. And Dave was there with the Hong Kongers and some of the Ukrainians. The house was absolutely jam-packed. You couldn't practically sit down. There were so many people. And it was just wonderful to be able to share life and have fun with, I don't know, 40 or 50 people. They were the ones that were teaching us how to play Mahjong. And they're so animated. If you need a lesson, Andy Mack can help you. But just having fun. Just at that time, I mean, I had a chat with one chap. He asked me what I did, and there we go. I had a nice chat with him. But it was lovely, lovely. We just had a lot of fun. And just learning how we can spend time with these people and just share life and share Jesus with them. You know, I shared that, those random thoughts. I had a picture about a year or so ago now. I've been praying for my mum for as long as I can remember, you know, and she's 92 and in a care home now. But when this happened, it was probably about 18 months ago. She hadn't gone into the care home yet. Her mind was still okay, and she's got Alzheimer's dementia. And I had a picture, one of these random thoughts, of me sat on my sofa in my house in Bolton, where we grew up, and sharing with my mum out of Psalm 23. And that picture just came into the back of my head, and I thought, right, I'm going to do that. Next time I see my mum, I'm going to share out of Psalm 23. And sure enough, the next time I went home to see my mum, I moved all of her newspapers off because she's got a cluttered house, off the sofa so that you could actually have two people on the three sofa, get all the rubbish off, sat on the sofa next to her and said, Mum, can I just share out the Bible, a scripture? I must have shared. Have I shared this before with you? I might have done, might not. Okay. And can I just share out of Psalm 23? And suddenly she rattled off half the psalm. Now, I'd never known my mum to go to church. And with Alzheimer's dementia, you know, she'd learned this psalm when she was a little girl. And it stayed with her. And so she, so I was been able to minister to her and pray with her. And I've prayed with her every time I see her now. And the funny thing about Alzheimer's dementia is that I know 10 minutes after I've gone, she'll have forgotten. But God doesn't forget. And just this last time I went up to see her, I had the most precious time with her praying. Because I'd finally got to the point, I finally asked her the question, Mum, you do know who the Lord is, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And because she's known God as God, she's never really talked about Jesus. But now I said, well, oh, it's Jesus, isn't it? I said, right, okay. So then we could talk about Jesus. And I prayed with her again. Now, I've been praying for this lady, my mum, for, I don't know, as ever since I became a Christian when I was maybe 16 or 17. And I'm now. So, too old. So, but God hears every prayer. And just a funny side though, I went to see my mum this time. I'm sorry, this if you've got people with Alzheimer's dementia, for my mum, actually, she's still the same character. I'm for those of you who know, I've just become a granddad, and so I spent 2 hours with my mum sharing a photo of my grandson, or two or three photos, and I must have shared the same photos with her maybe 30 times, and every time it was as though she was seeing it for the first time. And I'll tell you what, that blessed me, because to see that much joy come into somebody's life for 2 hours, I mean, it's just amazing. But you just kind of think, the sad part is I know that after 10 minutes and I've gone, she'll have forgotten. But that means that I can go with the same photos next time. but you know, just God hears every prayer. And that is, this. I'm pressing the different buttons and it's doesn't want to. There we go. I don't think so. Let everything be motivated out of love and care. Witnessing to those around us is, you know, sometimes people think, well, I don't want to do it. I might make a mistake. Well, I kind of take the view that if the motivation is out of a heart of love and care for another person, I kind of think it's a bit difficult to make a mistake. But even if you do make a mistake, if we never try, we'll never learn. And it's better to try and learn, and then you can move forward. And the last point. Somebody's is to pray. Oh, get there. I'm hoping that the next slides will come up. To pray on all occasions. Because God does hear every prayer. And if we pray, he'll answer those prayers and he'll help us. He'll help us just in our lives, but he'll help our lives so that we can help others. You know, as I said, I went through cancer 10 years ago now. And that was a tough journey for me. But I'm starting to lose count now at the number of men that have contacted me to say, I'm going through this, I've had this diagnosis, can I have a chat with you about it? And I give them all the gory details, you know, all the bad news and all the good news. And the good news is that I'm still here. If God did it for me, he'll do it for you. And so God can use even the bad stuff. that we go through to help others. And that's 2 Corinthians 1:4 that says, God will comfort others with the comfort that we've received. And I've experienced that. I wouldn't have chosen to do it. And I know for many of you, you've gone through things. We wouldn't choose to go through those things. But God walks with us. God can take our talents and our abilities and use them. It might be doing a good job at work. It might be a good mother or a good father. It might be helping somebody in your area of expertise. We all have talents and abilities. And even if you're going through now and you're thinking, I don't know how God could use this. This I'm going through, this is awful. Then my suggestion to you is to draw alongside somebody who can help you. So as I draw to a close, I thought I'd just, you know, it'd be good to just put some scriptures up on the screen, just so that you know that I'm just not making it all up. And if the thing will work. There we go. For it is by grace you have been saved. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm not asking you to go out and just do good works. That would be the last thing that I'd want. I mean, you might think, oh, I just... But the aim isn't to do good works. The aim is to hear the heart of God, to hear his voice speaking to you, and for him to motivate you into those good works that he's prepared for you in advance to do. We don't want to wear ourselves out doing stuff. We want to do the things that God has called us to do. Yeah? And if we're all on that lake together, having fun in different boats, pootling around, that sounds like a great idea. Then at least we're all doing things differently according to the gifting that God has given to each one. So this isn't an aim to put lots and lots of, you must be doing this, you must be doing that, you must be. Let's forget that. This is about spending time in the presence of God and just believing that he'll speak to you and that he will lead you. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When God does something, all the glory goes to him. Generally, when we try and do something, we kind of want to take the glory for ourselves. But we want those things that God has called us to do. We want everybody to say, God, thank you. Let your glory, let your kingdom come. I put that one in there because sometimes, you know, it's good we can, our lives say so much, don't they? Our lives speak volumes. We might not realize it, but they do. Our work colleagues see what we're like at work. Our family sees what we're like at home. I came from a family where nobody else believed. And I'll tell you what, if I put a foot wrong or said something, they jumped on me like a ton of bricks. I knew that I'd made a mistake and they rubbed it in mercilessly. That's what happens when you get three brothers. But, you know, we're learning, aren't we? And this one. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And if you look at that scripture, that is a scripture of Jesus speaking. And all of the righteous are the ones that have done all of this stuff. And they're saying to Jesus, yeah, well, when did that happen? When did I do that? And Jesus' response is, when you did it for the least of me, of these, you did it for me. He takes it personally. He takes it as personally as possible. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage us today from what we've heard from the prophetic, that God wants to work in our hearts. He wants us to step up and just to allow him to speak to us and lead us into opportunities.